Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
This is episode 84 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Good evening.
Welcome to November.
That's right. Very dark, dark evening.
I was trying to take pictures earlier and it was like, this is frustrating. Not happening.
Yeah.
So we have lots to talk about tonight.
Tons. Go.
All right. Okay. So we're in the last section of the Deep Stash Knit Along for this year. And we're chatting about stuff for next year. Yes. So if you have any ideas, specific things you'd maybe like to see, please put them on the board on Ravelry. We are happy to hear more ideas.
Yeah.
Besides what we've come up with. But make sure you're posting in the appropriate threads. I haven't chosen prizes yet because I forgot it was November already. So those will probably be up this week sometime. Okay. And I'll also draw for the last section, which is like Stephen West's new ebook, another Martina Bem pattern, and I can't remember what the third one is. Do you remember what the third one is?
No.
It'll do three. Okay.
But if you don't remember, I don't remember.
Yeah. I could have looked at that before we started, but
that's
I was
all right.
Trying to remember all the other
stuff. It's stuff. We're giving
about.
Away stuff.
Yes. So make sure you're using your Deep Stash and tagging your projects with Deep Stash or
DSKAL
2013 and posting that in the appropriate thread. Mm-hmm. And like I said last time, we also have a fix it thing going on right now, which I need to do that, but I wasn't home all weekend, which we'll hear about in a minute. I have a list. Someone asked me to create a list thread so people could go through and make a list. So,
For fixing.
Oh, yeah. So put your list and you can link to your project page and then go back and edit it when you're done just to keep a personal reminder of what you want.
My list is so long. It's painful.
Yeah. April showers. Let's talk about your list. It is long. And I applaud her. She's already fixed a couple things, I think.
Oh,
so,
man.
I know.
Show off, people.
Well,
yeah, good for you guys. Good for you. I salute you.
Bravo. So you can look at the guidelines for that. It's pretty loose guidelines. Anything you have that needs fixing, you can fix. I think we're going to run it through the end of the year because I started it at mid-October, I think. So it's a few months. You can, like, fix things in between knitting holiday gifts or whatever. Re-gift something you fixed. It's up to you. And then we had a drawing last time for a giveaway for the Cascadia book from Cooperative Press. And I drew for a winner. And that was Gigi Formilo, who's Shirley, who just started the Fiber Gallery, right?
Oh, it's Shirley.
Shirley.
Yes, Shirley, who just started the
and
Fiber Gallery.
And she
came
back. She's like, funny story.
That's so funny.
Like, oh, I'm sure I'll see you there sometime. So she has that, and it's beautiful. If you haven't seen it, you should go look at it because it's amazing.
It's a very pretty book.
And then we were contacted by Mind of Winter, who's Julia Trice on Ravelry. Mm-hmm. She's a designer in her own right, but she's also participating and I think kind of one of the organizers of a knit along for this holiday season called the Indie Gift Along 2013. And that's the name of the knit along group on Ravelry as well. Ooh, I'm on the. I love that threads. Indie Design Gift Along Group. So from between November 1st and November 15th, there are an insane amount.
I'm looking at so much cute stuff right now.
There's an insane amount of designers participating in this. But between the 1st and the 15th, you can go to the group and there's in the like guidelines for the group, there's a coupon code and you can get 25% off an amazing amount of patterns from these designers. And then they're hosting knit alongs for different things. And you can get like little badges and stuff for them.
Holy smokes. Look at all this.
There's baby and child, mitts and other arm things. There's socks, non-wearable shawls and stoles, chat, tons of prizes. And they're doing kind of like an Easter egg designer hunt thing where a designer or a prize giver posts like a picture and you have to figure out the pattern that the picture represents and then post it. And the first person who posts gets I think, that pattern for free or a pattern for free. Cool. It's pretty cool, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's, like, already hundreds of posts. And
yeah, there's already 2,377 members in the group, which is amazing.
Yeah, and it runs through December 31st.
And there's just loads and loads of really good designers involved.
And it was founded by Alex Tinsley,
who's Del Roar.
Yeah.
But
who's one of my favorites.
Just so much stuff.
Yeah. A ton of designers. And there's crochet and knitting. Yes. So make sure you check that out if you're interested or planning on doing gifts for the holidays, because you can get patterns that you might have in your queue or already planned for someone. You could use your stash yarn, and you can win prizes. So it's all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah.
So I think those are the announcements. So you went to your retreat last weekend.
I went to my retreat last weekend. This is my retreat at Fort Warden, which is like a totally unstructured, like, you just get 5 days to hang out and knit retreat. And I did hang out and knit. And it was very fun, and I liked it a lot. And yeah, it was awesome. The end. Yeah. You know, I don't know. It's just relaxing to go.
Hanging out with a ton of other people.
Yeah, hanging out with Pat Skyhag. Hey, Pat.
And who has just, the best Rav name ever.
Yes, Skyhag. She's a flight attendant. I think we've mentioned her before. She's a flight attendant. Mm-hmm.
That's also her license plate.
It is her license plate, yes.
It's hilarious.
But, yeah, it's just, there are a lot of people that I mean, people like Pat, who I might see a little bit during the year, but it's, like, the only time I really get to sit and hang out and talk to them. So anyway, yeah, it was fun. It was good.
Cool.
It had me already looking forward to our Pearly Girl retreat coming up in the spring.
I'm excited.
Yes. So Knit Fit.
I went to Knit Fit and I worked the registration table, and a bunch of people apparently who are podcast listeners were there. So hello. It was really nice to see people, and I saw Heather and her mother, Margaret. Hello. Heather won the class that we gave away.
Yes.
And do you see my post about them thanking us and their thank you page?
Like, yes,
me
yeah.
and the podcast. Also Sheep, which I think is hilarious.
Oh, that Knit Fit in the Knit Fit program. We got thanked.
Yes.
And the Fiber Gallery got a thanks.
Yes. And Mary, I think personally too.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So I usually work the registration table. I mean, usually as in 2 years in a row work the registration table. So I kind of have it down now. And I went to game knitting on Saturday night with Lee Meredith, which was awesome. We watched Singles.
And what did you game knit?
A neck blanket, basically.
Oh, right.
Monica gave me this big skein. Well, it's a skein of Green Mountain Spinnery something, but it was mislabeled. And it said to use a size 7, but it was obviously a chunky or a bulky. So I started with 10.5s, and the stitches were totally strangled. And so I ripped it out because I do the beginning part at home. So when I get to game knitting, I can just start knitting. So I started at home, and I ripped it out from the 10.5s and started on a 13, and it was like 2.5 stitches to the inch.
Wow.
Just huge. And I cast on like 30 stitches, just eyeballing it, but it's like hard to tell. I was like, I don't know. Because I wanted it, I was knitting it sideways, and I was just going to seam it together at the end. But it's kind of hard to tell in the cast on.
Yeah.
It's like in two rows or something. Like what the actual width is going to be. So it's a neck blanket. So I'm going to rip it out and
do it again.
Redo it, probably watching Fringe, which is like the only thing I've been watching lately.
All right. Fun. Did you take any classes?
I just did game knitting.
Just did game knitting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And hung out.
Mm-hmm.
And slow danced with Abra in the lobby to other people's amusement. And she told me I was a troublemaker.
You are a troublemaker.
I am, kind
of. Speaking of registering classes, whatnot, just a shout out the Madrona Fiber Arts Retreat, which is coming up in February in Tacoma. They just put out their class schedule this weekend, and their registration opens on the 20th. So if any of you are out there thinking about coming, I would definitely recommend that as a great event. Lots of interesting classes being offered.
And I was going to say, Sonia, who owns Stash Yarn Shop in Corvallis, and her friend Liz came up for Saturday, and we hung out, and they bought stuff at the market. And they came to game knitting, too. And while I was in the market, I met Kathy of Intrepid Otter. I think it's Fiber Arts. I'm not sure. But she gave us... Oh, it's right over here. I will get it. So I can actually read it. I had it by the computer. Intrepid Otter, Uniquely Playful Yarns. She has a big cartel shop. And she's a podcast listener. Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
She's my new friend I made. and I met her husband, who's super sweet.
Mr. Otter.
Yes, Mr. Otter. So she gave us a skein of yarn to give away on the podcast.
Yay!
And it's a BFL superwash sock, 75 BFL, 25 nylon. It's 450 yards, and the colorway is royal. So it's different colors of purple, mm-hmm. and it's beautiful.
It's very pretty. Actually, her logo is like an otter playing with a ball of yarn. And today cute. At the zoo, the baby otters had found this shell, a snail shell,
mm-hmm.
and they were like juggling it around in the water like it was like a beach ball.
Mm-hmm.
It looked just like that.
Cute.
It's cute.
And she's newer to the Seattle area. So.
Oh, cool.
She's also local now. And so I'll think of a giveaway question
thing
for that. Something. And I'll post it and then I'll put all the... But the question, you have to be a member of the group, like usual, and I'll put a closing date on that, and then probably toward the end of the month. Yeah. So, thank you for that, Kathy. Yes. It was super nice talking to you, and I bought some other yarn from her.
Yes, which you're knitting right now.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Should I talk about what I'm knitting?
Yes.
Okay.
Do.
Because I've been knitting a whole bunch of stuff. So,
I saw some of it last night.
Yeah, I had a moment where I was like... Where I remembered how last year, and I did single skein September, aided by the fact that I was homesick for a whole bunch in September, right. and how good it felt to, like, knock all that stuff out. So I did a couple of little projects. I knit Cranberry Sauce, which is a free hat pattern by Brittany Tyler. It's a cap with kind of a loose braid cable. Really, really simple pattern, done in a big yarn. I knit mine in Rowan Cork, which was my member gift, I believe, from 2004. And I finally used the last of that yarn. I've used it for a couple of projects. I've knit a pair of socks from it, and I knit a hat, and I knit...
It didn't even make it to a decade slippers. Old.
No, it didn't.
Way
it's
to go.
Close, but yeah. And then I also... I had a ball of Classically Lush that had been used in one of our natural dyeing classes we did in conjunction with Earth Hue several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it had been divided into two smaller skeins and dyed with cochineal, so it's like a really vivid hot pink. And yeah. since it was already in two little balls, I thought, oh, well, I'll do a pair of mitts. So I knit the mitts, the pattern Maze by Tin Can Knits, which is part of their Simple Knits collection.
Oh, yeah.
Which are all these sort of riffs on garter stitch, kind of aimed at beginner knitters, but I really like the patterns.
Too.
It's free, and it also includes a lot of like kind of learn to knit
There's
pointers.
There's a baby blanket and a scarf and
the
socks
hat and yeah, a whole bunch of stuff. And they all sort of have this simple like garter section motif on them. And so I made those and I gave them to Monica for her charity giveaway. And then I had some Evento, which is a Lana Grossa, like, wool, alpaca, cotton, something weird like that, that I bought several years ago to make a gift for my hairdresser. I had a ton left over, so I knit a hat for Wes. And then I had a little ball of Noro Retro and that was just, like, a plain hat for Wes. And then, actually, it was going to be a charity knit, but then we went to the movies, and he left his hat in the theater, and when he called the theater the next day, they didn't have the hat. So the hat became his hat.
Was it a hat you made him? Or
yeah, it was, what the heck is it called? It's one of the ones that has a cable band.
Oh.
And then, you know, I don't
like
know.
Like a sideways cable band?
Yeah, sideways cable band that you pick up and knit. But, oh, I can't even remember now. It's gone. I don't remember now. He's had it for a couple of years.
Well, it's really gone now.
Yeah, it's gone. It's really gone. And then I knit, I had a ball or... A ball of Noro Retro, or some of a ball of Noro Retro from that I got at the retreat stash sale last year, and knit a little hat out of that. And then 50 Yards of Fun came out by Rebecca Danger.
It's super cute.
All these little stuffed toys, and I'm a sucker for little stuffed toys. So the first thing I made was a Bigfoot, or it's like button-sized Bigfoot or something. You're supposed to knit them with fun fur, but I don't own fun fur. Or at least I didn't own fun fur. So I grabbed some alpaca. I don't even know where it came from. I think maybe it's like Blue Sky or something. In brown and some kind of... I think it's the Pico Cordy gossamer that I had left over from Regan's cowl from our Pearly Girl swap from a bajillion years ago. And I held those together to give like Bigfoot a kind of furry body. But he doesn't look anything like the one in the book because he's not like crazy fun fur. But he's still cute. And then I knit a hippo out of Rowan Yorkshire tweed chunky, which is what I used for the Columbia cowl I knit a couple weeks ago. And he came out kind of funky looking. He's still kind of a cute thing, but not immediately identifiable as a hippo. I might redo him at some point. And then I knit the cat in pajamas.
Which that is adorable.
Super freaking cute. And that uses leftovers, the cat head, like the cat parts, the head, the tail, the hands, and feet are done in the leftover gray Evento that I use for Wes's hat. And then his jammies are the cochineal dyed lush. So he's got like, she, I guess, has like hot pink jammies. But it also means that it's super soft.
Yeah,
it's
like, it looks really like soft a kitty toy. In pajamas.
And then I found in a free bag, like there was this tiny little ball. I think some kind of Chopo wool yarn, maybe like Reggae Ombre or one of those where it's a single that's been felted a little bit that's in a gradient that went from like gray to black. And I knit the blanket for the kitty out of that from the book. And now I'm working on the snack size yak. But he's much better because I was in the stash sale. Someone had this big bag with a million kinds of fun fur in it for like $5. And I went over and I was like, can I just buy this one brown skein for a buck?
Noah's carrying the cat around so she doesn't meow.
And she thought I was weird, but she agreed. So now I'm the proud owner of a skein of, well, not that proud, of like copper colored Lion Brand fun fur. But I'm using it to knit the yak, and it's super cute. And then I'm knitting his body out of Nature Spun Sport Held Doubled that I also bought at the stash sale. And then the cutest thing I've knit in a really, 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 really long time is I got a kit from Anna Rasevich. And I don't remember, I must have been at TNNA or something. She gave me a kit for her tiny burger, and I knit... It is a cheeseburger, like, complete with, like, bun, burger, lettuce, cheese, sesame seeds on top.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
And it's, like, the size of a quarter. Mm-hmm. It's tiny, and it's so cute. And it made me very happy. I love knitting goofy those little things like that. Too. And everyone's like, what are you going to do with that? I'm like, what do you mean, what am I going to do with that? I'm like, oh, I'm going to, you know, screw in a light bulb. I mean, what, like... It's a goofy thing. What do I need to do something for? It makes people smile. I also did the, I think I mentioned last time I was doing the mystery stuffed toy knit along.
Oh, right.
So I had started knitting it in this gray all seasons cotton, this sort of bluey gray that I had. And everyone at knitting, like as I was knitting it, they're all like, oh, is it a mouse? And I'm like, well, it's a mystery. I don't know. And they're like, is it an elephant? I'm like, no, it's a mystery. They didn't specify gray. I just grabbed gray yarn. They're like, well, maybe it's a, and they're, everyone was sort of very guided by the fact that it was gray. And I had to keep reminding people that I didn't know what it was. And I just picked the yarn because it was there. Well, it turns out it was a gingerbread man. So
it's like a moldy old
I knit a gray gingerbread man. So I haven't put his stuff on yet, and everyone's like, make it a zombie gingerbread man. And I'm like, I don't want a zombie gingerbread man. So then someone was saying like, oh, just put some ears on it and some mouse.
Yeah.
So I think I will do that when I get to feeling like messing with that, but I haven't, so that's not officially finished yet. And then I started, excuse me, the Garden View Shawlette by Tracy, I'll say Whitney, which is, I think, freebie on Ravelry. It's just a really simple little stockinette crescent shawl, and it's quite small, hence the name Shawlette, with a big garter stitch leaf motif along the edge. And I'm knitting it in Madeline Tosh Air, the merino alpaca silk. And I bought that at the stash sale at the retreat last year. So I was glad, you know, within a to have cast on before going back to the retreat. And I'm a little past the halfway point on that. And then also at the stash sale, I think maybe even like in a free pile, someone had put a little Ziploc bag with some odds and ends of felted tweed. And I was like, oh, and they're in blues. So it's like, I'll just grab those. And I thought maybe I'd incorporate them into one of my scrap hats. But then I got home and I pulled out my other felted tweed scraps. And I actually have a fair amount of it. Like altogether, maybe like 4 or 5 skeins worth. And so I just started, but a bunch of different colors. So I just started Seawall by Louise S. Bangham. And it's a scarf. It's a like a reversible scarf where it's different on both sides, where you start by knitting little rectangles stacked on top of each other, like basically just stripes, in all the different colors. And then you pick up along one side and knit, and pick up along the other side and knit. And then you kind of turn the corner to the other side, and then you do garter stripes. So, really scrappy, really customizable. So, yeah, so I'm just going to kind of wing it. I don't have as many colors as she calls for in her pattern, but it's so, so customizable. Right. I can just, you know, mine will just be a little less contrasty than hers. But, and then I'm just knitting another scrap hat right now out of weird odds and ends.
Cool.
How is your knitting?
It's good, especially since school is done.
so we're both all froggy. We're both like,
no, it's a weather change. I had to wait. I had to be at work at 7 this morning for a stupid meeting, so I'm also quite tired.
Sorry,
especially with the time change. It's okay. My cat says it's okay too.
Yeah.
It's here over there, twitchy tail. Right now, I'm knitting some awesome plain vanilla socks out of Intrepid Otter that I purchased at Knit Fit, and it's her self-striping yarn. And the color is called Highlight of My Life, and it's neon yellow, neon pink, neon orange, and black stripes, like 3 to 5 row stripes, like highlighter colors, and it makes me so happy. I started at the registration table on Saturday, or not, on Sunday, because I'd finished my other project I took, because I had to have something that's easy to pick up and set down.
Right.
Yeah. As people come in, and people were like, oh my god, what is that? But I think that Monica and I got the last 2 balls.
Oh.
So Monica and I will have matching neon striped socks. But they're amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love it. I have like 3 different socks on the needle. So this is the first one, and that's just plain vanilla. I'm just stocking it socks. I'm also working on the mix and match rib toe up socks by Chrissy Gardner out of, some really old Tactile Fiber Arts, sport weight sock yarn. It's their Sierra sport sock. And then Audrey a baby sweater out of it a long time ago, and I had a ball up some left, but it was like a super hefty skein. It was like 500 yards or something crazy. And it's a $5 pattern, and I don't normally like toe up socks because the heel, like, I can't gauge the foot length very well, and the heels are always like funky. But for kids socks, and Audrey has really rectangular feet, like, it's not gonna cause me, and she's gonna grow out of them so fast. But I wanted to make her sport weight socks to wear with like rain boots, because they don't really fit, and they're not really warm. There's no insulation in them or anything.
Right.
So I have the first one done, and the toe of the second one done, and I'm just the rib I chose. There's like 3 different ones. There's a 2x2. It's like a mock cable, and then there's something that's kind of lacy, I think. And they're really easy, and she has all the techniques in the pattern. I was just like, that is what I need. Sport weight socks in a range of kids' sizes. Cool. So those will be done super fast. I mean, I feel like I barely worked on the first one. It's already done. And then the last thing I'm working on are the Salida socks. That's S-A-L-I-D-A by Yannicka Mott. And it's a free pattern. And this pattern has been in my queue forever. since I bought the yarn that I'm using, which is Oricania Ranko Multi number 125. It's a pink color.
Oh, didn't you buy that like when you went to Kansas or something?
No, I bought it at the first Stitches I went to.
Oh, okay.
From the Webb's booth for like $5. It was super inexpensive.
Cool.
But I saw Prairie Poppins on Ravelry. She had put her first one on that she had finished and was like, oh, I need to make the next one because they've been in hibernation or something. I was like, oh, that makes me want to knit those. So I decided I was going to make them for my mom for Christmas. And I'm on the toe of the first one, I think. Cool. So it's all twisted stitches, which I haven't done before. Like, that much twisted stitches.
Yeah. It's a little slow.
It's slow, and it kind of hurts my hands a little bit just because all the... It's tight, and it's a different, like, slightly different knitting motion.
Yeah.
But they're really pretty, so she better like them. And if she doesn't, part of the reason I'm making them for her is because we have the same size feet. So if she decides that she does not like them, I can get them back.
Okay.
But she'll probably like them.
All right.
So those are the three things I'm working on. I finished a ton of stuff.
Yes, you did.
Last time, I was talking about the swirl hat by Mandy Harrington that I was making for Audrey to wear under her bike helmet.
Yes.
And that's done. She's been wearing it. And then because I knit the hat, I decided I was going to make her some hand wear to use while biking. And I asked her if she wanted mittens, and she said she wanted gloves. So I knit teeny tiny little gloves. Where I striped the mini mochi and the stripe I had.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, that bright, vivid purple mini mochi. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have enough to make the gloves. And I used a vintage pattern that's free. It's like a Bear brand vintage pattern, you know. And I striped them and did a solid purple cuff. And she's been using those at her grandpa's house. She says she likes them. They keep her hands nice and warm. And I had talked about the Quaking Aspen shawl by Courtney Kelly.
Which everyone misheard you at knitting last night and thought you said things. It was the kicking ass shawl.
Well, and then Jean thought it was something else, and then somebody else thought it was something else. There were like three different things.
Well, we all thought the kicking ass shawl would have been good. Yeah. This is my kicking ass shawl.
It's very soft for that, though.
Yeah.
And that's
more the attitude.
Yeah. I said, well, it's a good thing I don't care what you guys think.
Mean.
Well.
But we knew that.
Yes. It's part of my charm.
I was going to say, no one is surprised to learn that you're mean.
In the best way possible. That's a free pattern by Courtney Kelly, and I knit it in the yarn that it's called for, or that is used in the pattern, which is Fiber Company Acadia, which is amazing.
Awesome!
Oh my god, it's so soft and it's so warm. I wore it yesterday, and I was like, nice and toasty all day. And that's all in size 8 needles, so it goes really fast, too. Yeah. And I finished the Mike Up of Tea Socks by Robin Lynn that I was making for my sister-in-law, because she has teeny feet, size 6.5, which is teeny.
Mm-hmm.
And those feel awesome.
Cool.
And I knit a basic hat, which I called your basic hat. I needed something easy to knit on. Oh, because I was going to my birthday party, and we were going to watch Labyrinth, and I needed something plain stockinette, and I just had, like, the twisted stitch socks, and that was it.
Yeah.
So I pulled out...
Twisted stitch socks, not great for knitting while watching a movie and drinking.
Yeah. So I just pulled out two leftover balls of Tasha Vintage in the twig color, and was the leafy green one.
Cool.
I can't remember the name.
The Grove?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I striped those.
Kind of an earthy green.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I did, like, a 1x1 rib, and then I striped them, and then I did, like, the four-point decreases, where you decrease on both sides of 4 points to make, like, a square. And I have to wash it still. But
is that going to be a gift for somebody?
I don't know. I'm going to see. It's a little pointy at the top, so I don't know if that'll block out from where the decreases are meet. Or if I need to pull it out and, like, just have more stitches there. So I'm going to see after I block it. And my other KnitFit registration table project that I was working on was the Yellow Brick Road by Mona Schmidt. And it's a reversible texture pattern cowl that buttons.
Oh,
and it takes 205 yards. But I had a skein of Knitted Wit Silky Implied that I bought at the Fiber Gallery Trunk Show last year. In Prussian blue. Ooh. And that yarn is amazing. Oh my And that was on size 8s too. So it was pretty fast and very easily memorizable pattern. So that has to be washed. I had to put buttons on it. But that yarn is like so good. And it's 225 yards in a skein. And like it didn't bleed on my hands at all, which is kind of amazing for a silk blend and for such a deep blue. Deep blue, it's a deep, deep blue. And it's nice and round. It didn't split at all, which I find happens with silk blend yarns a bit. Mm-hmm. It's like round, and it didn't smell that strongly of silk.
Oh, so. I never noticed that silk smell. People always talk about it. It doesn't bother me at all. I never notice it.
Yeah, but. So that's a really nice yarn.
Kat and I were restocking the Feederbrook Farms yarn in the shop yesterday, and she brought the box up from the basement, and she opened it, and we both bent over it, and then I was just like, kind of standing there for a minute, kind of huffing the wool fumes, because it just, it's not very heavily processed. Mm-hmm. It smells really sheepy, and I was just like, oh, that smells good. Just smells a little sheepy. Like, not gross, you know.
Yeah, like wool clean, lover clean, sheepy, woolly
not
sheep.
Gross sheepy.
Yeah. And I knit the Rumors mitts, they're just called Rumors, by Lee Meredith, which is from her remixed booklet, and I've had that since it came out and have never knit anything from it, but Hannah brought me a gift when she was on her honeymoon. She brought me a little skein of cashmere. Ooh. From Germany. It's an Italian cashmere, but she bought it in Germany. It's called Silk with an E on the end by Arvier Cashmere, and it was in black. And it was 126 yards of sport weight, and I was like, oh, that's not very much, but I like eked out all but the last 10 rows of the second mitt with like that ball. And I just had some Cascade 220 Sport that I just finished the wrist in, but they're like 98% cashmere. They're
so what does the Rumors pattern look like?
So it's you start with the fingertips and they're knit sideways. So you knit one of two different kind of simple lace patterns. At the width you want, and you knit kind of a band that'll go around your fingers, and you graft it, and then you pick up or you make extra stitches as you're doing it for the circumference of your hand, and you end up knitting down, and you knit the thumb separately and join that with the hand, and the thumb is in garter stitch, and you can knit it in the round or flat, and then you add it to the hand. And then it has, well, it looks like knitting in different directions with eyelets and garter.
Kind of a zig across the hand where like it looks like it changes direction. And then
The sample, and her sample is knit in blue. But
I can picture it now,
But you have like a bunch of markers that you move around because you're changing the direction of your knitting several times. So the first one was super confusing, and mine are in black, so you can't see the picture well. But you can see it in person.
Oh, I see. Oh, right. Yeah. So that's got like the little zigzag with the garter and stockinette.
And they're and they're part of the gift along.
Hey, look at that.
Look at that. You too can knit them. And it takes 70 to 200 yards of sport weight. You can knit them in any weight. And the 126 is the sport weight version. I think the 70 is like if you have like a bulky. But they were fun to knit. I think I'll knit them again.
With a little more yarn.
Yeah, when I have more yarn. But, you know, it was the perfect thing.
When will you ever have more yarn?
Never. I'll never have more yarn. But they're, like, the perfect thing for that tiny little ball. Because I think if I had chosen to knit a narrower band around my fingers, the 12 rows that the stitch pattern takes up instead of 14, I probably would have been able to eke it out.
Right.
So.
Cool.
Yeah. They were awesome to knit. They're really fun. So that's my knitting. That's a lot. It's lots of small things. I've been thinking a lot about starting a new sweater, but I feel like I should fix some of my stuff that needs fixed, because then I'll have more sweaters in my rotation. Yeah. So.
That's true.
Maybe I'll alternate. I don't know.
All right. Well, I haven't been reading anything. Do you want to cover reading?
And I wanted to say that I'm on Goodreads. I know I've been friended by a couple of people on Goodreads, but it's my first name, which is Erin, and my last name, Burnell, which is B-I-R-N-E-L. I don't do a lot of reviews unless I feel very strongly, like written reviews unless I feel strongly about stuff, but that's my to read list and like all the stuff that I'm currently reading in the groups and stuff I'm in, so.
All right. I joined Goodreads a million years ago and I never
used it. I know, you're my friend on there. You have like 8 books on there. I
never used it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suck.
Whatever. It's like yet another thing to keep track of.
Yeah, I know. Like, just can't keep.
But Nikki is a librarian, yes. And so she keeps, like, she's on there and she's very, very active. So, and now that I don't have to do reading for school, I'm like, well, I can focus more energy on that. So, I read Life Among the Savages by Shirley Jackson, which is her autobiography, kind of, about raising children in New England. Mm-hmm. It's really hilarious.
Yeah.
And I don't normally go in for, like, mommy type stuff, but this is really mommy
Shirley Jackson stuff. Is not your typical mommy.
No, she's talking about, like, smoking while she's in labor, and, like, she and her husband, neither of them drove. They moved there from New York City. Neither of them drove, so she had 4 or 5 kids. So the fourth kid, she just, like, is in labor at home. And then all of a sudden she's like, I have to go and I have to go now. But they have to wait for a taxi to get there. And like, she talks about her son being in school and starting elementary school. And he goes and he's like, his name is Lawrence. They call him Lori. But he makes up this fictional boy and says like, guess what Frank did today? He said these bad words. And he says them. He's like, he got in so much trouble. And they find out that Frank, quote unquote Frank, is actually Lori.
Yes.
And he's just telling them all the bad things he did in school. Yeah. Because she's like, I was going to have a word with his mother. And she goes and, like, can't figure out who she is. Oh. And the teacher is like, well, he's having a little trouble adjusting. Oh. It's really funny. So, highly recommend that. I read the first half of American Gods by Neil Gaiman, and then I had to return it. I really enjoyed it, but it's super referential, so if you don't know all these gods that he's talking about, you don't get some of the stuff, which I've taken mythology classes before, but some of them are super obscure, like, and it's a mixing of all kinds of mythologies.
Different types of mythology, yeah.
So it's a little difficult to keep track of, but,
It needs a glossary.
Yeah. Tyler has it. He's going to lend it to me, so I have to wait for my hold to come back, because it took me forever to get it, and then I didn't finish it. So, and I'm reading 2 young adult dystopian series.
Everything's young adult dystopian these days.
Yeah, so the first one's by Anne Aguirre, It's 2 R's, and I can't trill, so there you go. It's A-G-U-I-R-R-E. And she wrote Enclave and Outpost. So it takes place in dystopian New York. And she grows up in the subway system.
Which is an enclave.
An enclave. Called college.
And then she goes to an outpost.
Well.
I'm just guessing here. Yeah. Just spitballing.
So in the enclave, there's like 3 And because they're underground, the elders are like the longest that people live. Is like 23 or 24. They're the elders. And so when you're 15, you go through like this rite of passage and you get put in 1 of 3 tracks, which is breeders to keep up the population, builders to build all the buildings and keep things working, or hunters, which means you go out into the subway and you kill whatever you can find and you bring it back for people to eat. So it's kind of a hard scrabble existence. And the thing is that there are these things they call freaks. They're not zombies because they're not undead, but they're similar. They're like mutant humans, and they have to fight those. And
love triangle?
Yes.
Ugh.
Of course.
Of course.
Although that doesn't come in toward the end until toward the end of the first book, but it's more prevalent in the second one. So her. Each hunter or huntress has a partner that they work with. Her partner is a boy who's not from the enclave. He just showed up. And so she doesn't know much about him. He's mysterious. So, of course, they fall in love, you know.
Of course.
So they they see that some of the mutants or freaks are getting smarter, and they report that back to the village elders, the enclave elders, and they get booted topside. And she's never been outside before. But he, surprise, surprise, as a child grew up in what they call Gotham, which is New York City. So they meet other people and, yeah. And then the second book, they're
and in hilarity an ensues.
as they do in dystopias.
That's right.
So I just finished the second book today. I think there are three.
Alrighty.
So it's pretty good. Again, I don't really care for the whole love triangle thing for teen things. Because she's a super strong character. I really don't think it needs it, but...
Yeah.
But the one I really like, and the third book just got released, is the Razorland... No. The Unwind series by Neil Schusterman. And it's Unwind, Unholy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and Unsold, like S-O-U-L-E-D. And the premise is it's not too distant future. There's been a civil war between, they call it the Heartland War, which is between pro-choice and pro-life people, like an actual battle.
Great.
Because the part of it is because religious reasons, but the other part is because some of the government infrastructure has broken down and the public school system broke down. And so there were just teens and kids like roaming the streets and causing all kinds of problems, and the adults were scared. So the government, in an attempt to kind of snap the people who are fighting out of it, came up with this accord that says between the ages of 13 and 17, children can be unwound. And what that means is 99.4% of their bodies can be harvested and sent to people who need organs or whatever. Because it's not technically killing them. They're living on in other people.
They're using them for
scrap. So it's like a retroactive abortion kind of thing, but not real abortion because you're not murdering. There are three different kinds of unwindings that take place. One is a tithing, which is a religious thing where you raise a child that's going to be given to God religiously. At a and they're called harvest camps. That's where this happens. Another kind is there are wards of the state, and the wards of the state are put on career tracks, and if you're not at the top of your career track, you get sent to be harvested. And then the third one...
This book really aimed at kids?
Yeah.
Like
kids, I mean, the way I'm saying
kids
it...
Kids who will never sleep again. I'm trying to picture my 13-year-old reading it, and just picturing him coming downstairs like... white and quaking at the thought.
Well, this is stuff you find out throughout to the, like the first book, and it's not as like, and you don't, it's like not, the information's given to you in pieces. I mean, yes, it's horrendous, it's meant to be that way, but it's told from the point of view of these three types of kids.
Okay.
The third one is just if you're a screw up, your parents can sign papers in triplicate and send you off because you're, you know, emotionally disturbed or you stole someone's car.
So wait, there's three kids. Love triangle?
No. It's not a love triangle.
No. Okay.
Thank goodness.
With three kids, it would be perfect.
So there's one of each of these types of kids, and they end up getting away from the transport to the harvest camp and kind of becoming...
Worst camp ever, by the way. If you thought your summer camp was bad, harvest camp sounds
and
way worse.
Totally messed up names. Like, there's one called Happy Jack Harvest Camp. Like, it's super twisted. But it's really good.
Oh, God. Like, do the kids understand what...
Yeah.
Okay.
Kids know, and like, you know, you'll be in school with a kid, and the next day he's not there, and like these that. People oh, just come... these officials just come to your house and take you away.
Great.
And the kids... mostly don't know that they're being sent until the people show up.
Ooh.
Like, even if they know they've done bad things. So, or, you know, have acted out or whatever.
Yes.
So it sounds... it is terrible, but it's really fascinating because it's, like, not the normal dystopian thing.
Yeah.
It's just, like, this society, this is how it's structured after all these other things kind of broke down.
Okay.
Like, in the first book, which is Unwind, the most disturbing part is one of the kids, you follow him through the unwind process. And it took me, like, days to get over it. I just kept thinking about it. Like, that's bad. But it's a very good series. I mean, young adult literature wasn't like this one. I mean, not the horrifying aspect, but it wasn't as intense and thoughtful.
Yeah.
I feel like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So I think there's an aspect of the dystopian thing that is, I mean, depending on the story, really makes you think about things. So it's kind of where I am, and I'm really excited to read the third story.
Oh, cool.
So
that's good.
I recommend that. And he's written a couple of other series, too, which I haven't even gotten into, because this one I, like, you know, read each book in 2 days, and I was like, oh my god, what's going to so that's good.
That is good.
Yeah.
Well, so I've seen a couple movies. Actually went to the movie theater and saw movies. All four of us went to go see Gravity, like everyone else in the world. And I will say, like everyone else in the world, good film, really worthwhile seeing in the theater, and definitely see it in 3D and see it on a big, big screen. And it is the best use of 3D I've ever seen in any film.
Oh, cool.
Where it serves the story. I mean, it just serves the film so well to have it in 3D. And unlike typical 3D films, there's never anything that's like, oh, thing flying at your face. Mm-hmm. They really use the 3D to, like, create a realistic depth of field so that you, like, believe you're looking at things in space. And, like, there were these girls sitting next to me, and before the movie started, and all through the trailers, they're just like, yak, 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 yak. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, crap. Movie's going to start. They're going to still be talking. I'm going to have to tell them to shut up. I'm going to be the mean lady. But I'm perfectly happy to be the mean lady. let's be clear about that. I'm not going to let someone talk through a movie and ruin it for me. But the film opens with just this, like, amazing visual and total silence. And everyone in the theater just clammed up. And nobody said a freaking word until that movie was over.
That's awesome.
It was great. I mean, you could really. And I don't
know. No, like, Facebook status update people being like, OMG, this movie's amazing.
No. It was really good. I mean, I don't think it's, like, the most genius film ever. I think the story is actually pretty facile, and I have several quibbles with it, but it's just really effective filmmaking in terms of the way the story is told. I mean, just in terms of the visual style of it. I mean, and what's incredible is when you really start to think about it afterwards, and you realize that maybe only about, you know, 5% of what you saw was an actual physical object that was filmed, mm-hmm. and that, you know, the rest of the film, everything, pretty much everything besides Sandra Bullock and maybe, like, the chair she's sitting in and things she touches was just generated using CG. And it's really effective. It's well done. And it's just got some great visuals. So that was fun to see. Definitely worth seeing in the theater. And then Wes and I got to go to a free screening of About Time, which is film by Richard Curtis, who did Love Actually and Bridget Jones' Diary. And it stars, I always forget his first name. It's Brendan Gleeson's son. Can't remember his first name. Anyway, redhead. He was one of the brothers in Harry Potter. I can never remember his name. Anyway, so he plays a young man who on his 21st birthday is told by his father, played by Bill Nighy. Love him.
I love him too.
That all the men in their family can travel back in time.
What?
And all they have to do is, like, go somewhere dark and think about the place that they want to go, and they'll go there. So he decides that he's going to use this ability to find, you know, the perfect girl or whatever. And so it's not, I read a review that sort of slammed it, saying it was treacly, and I won't say it's treacly at all, because it's actually, not super sappy, sentimental. It's actually one of the most kind of straightforward odes to everyday life. Like, even though the premise of the film is this, like, crazy time travel thing, supernatural thing, it's all to serve the message of love and family, and but just, like, in a really simple, like, everyday kind of way, like, not crazy dramatic. And so I did like that, because it's so rare to see a film with a married couple where nothing terrible transpires between the couple. You know, it's like, usually in movies, like, you know, there's, it's got to be really tumultuous, and that's where all the drama comes from. But in this, like, it's just the drama of life, and that the relationship is solid. Anyway, so it was cute. I mean, it was very slight, though. Like, you could kind of walk away from it and never think about it again. I'm not a big fan of Love Actually. I think it's a really, really uneven film. Like, the different segments to me feel like they came from different universes, let alone different movies. And some I really like, some I despise. But yeah, so I don't know. If you like something that's, it's not even super romantic, though, which is the funny thing. It's like not traditional romantic comedy, but it's sweet. It's definitely not something you need to see in the theater. I mean, it's really low key, so, you know, rent it, get it from the library. Yeah, exactly. But it wasn't terrible. And that was the movie where Wes lost his hat. Boo. But then I've been watching at home. I've been watching Prime Suspect, the original Helen Mirren set of series, which until recently Netflix had them all except the first series. So I didn't want to watch it because
that's really weird.
I like to start with the first one.
Right.
So I'm currently on the fourth series. Is that right? I think I'm on the fourth series. Third, fourth. Anyway, I can't remember now. And they're all like two or three episodes long, but the episodes are an hour and a half, and I always forget that. And I start one at night, and then I'm like, well, I need to go to bed, and I need to turn it off. But it's like, well, it's only 15 minutes, and I keep staying up too late because I've been watching it. But there are so many famous people, like not yet famous people, showing up in them. Like, especially I think the second one, like, you know, like a police detective comes in, and you have to kind of squint and imagine everybody in it with like less hair and maybe a little pudgier. And like, so I'm like, oh, is that Mark Strong? And then like Johnny Lee Miller shows up in one of them when he's just like a kid, because they were shot in like early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And Kieran Hines when he still had a lot of hair and was thin. And just everyone. I mean, like, every single person who... Oh, Ralph Fiennes is in it in the first one.
Random.
As, like, the murder victim's, like, punk boyfriend. I mean, it's, like,
oh my God.
It's crazy.
I can't even picture that.
Every single person. Tom Wilkinson's in the first one. And everyone who enters the screen, even these tiny incidental characters, are, like, you know, amazing actors or, you know, really famous now. And Zoe Wanamaker's in the first one. And... anyway, so there's sort of that fun, like, Brit spotting going on with them, too, as I'm watching. Every time a new character comes on the screen, I'm like, that's so-and-so! And you have to kind of stare at them for a long time to figure out who everybody is, because they're so much younger. But pretty gruesome, and not, you know, you gotta like crime stuff for that. And reminded me a little bit, even, of every... I feel like every British drama now takes me back to... a Red Riding series
Oh my God,
You know, the boys' club and the police department, and
yeah, I actually saw that at the library, and I was like, I should watch it again. Too. And I was like, dude, it's on. Watching so
I know, and I don't know if I need to see it again.
Yeah, it's so good though.
It is really good. But yeah, anyway, so that's what I've been watching. What have you been watching?
Lots of Fringe.
Lots of
got
Fringe.
Got back into it. It's what it is.
Yeah, never got into
that fantastic.
One.
I thought I was on season 3, but I'm on season 4. So.
Oh.
I think there are 5 on Netflix, so... I watched a documentary called... A Band Called Death.
Yes.
Which is really good. Noah didn't care for it as much as I did. But I thought it was really good. So it's about, this band. And the... Was that early 70s?
that they were playing like, they never played out, but I think that they,
but they recorded
in 74 and they recorded their album around 76 or something.
Oh, I thought it was earlier than that. Anyway, these three black brothers, or with two were brothers. No, they were all three brothers. They were all three brothers, sorry. One of the brothers wasn't in the band because he was older or something. But these three black brothers in Detroit in the early 70s formed this band called Death. And their, what was the name of their first band? It's really hilarious.
It was
Funk Fire.
Funk Fire Rock.
Funk Fire Rock Express. Yeah, Funk Fire Rock Express. They, that was their first one because they didn't know if they wanted to be a funk band or a rock band. But then they kind of evolved into what the documentary tries to say is proto-punk band.
Oh, okay.
Before, you know, like the Ramones or anything like that, like, did that kind of sound. But, you know, rock. And so they...
I'm familiar with rock. I've heard it.
So they were in Detroit, and then they, you know, recorded all this stuff, and they had, like, records pressed, and their deal with the record company fell through. And so two of the brothers moved to New England with their uncle, and the one brother stayed behind, and the two brothers formed, like, a reggae band and started touring. They were semi-popular, and so the records were put in the attic with the master tracks and stuff. And then, like, all these music people, like, found some of the records. They're really rare.
Yeah.
And the brothers, the two brothers that were kind of remained in the music business didn't really know that that was happening. The third brother passes away, and then all of a sudden there's, like, this explosion where somebody tells somebody who tells somebody else, and one of the band members' kids hears it at his friend's house, and he's like, that sounds like my dad. And then he calls his dad, and his dad's like, yeah, I was in this band. It was called Death. And he's like, what? And so it was, like, being played all these punk house parties and stuff, uh-huh. and, like, underground things. The record was. And so he tells his dad, and then the son's band started playing some of the songs out,
mm-hmm.
and they, it, like, exploded. So, yeah. And cool. Now they tour, I guess. I'm not sure if they still do, because the documentary is a couple years old. I mean, it was at SIFF this year, but, you know, a couple years earlier is when this was all happening.
Right.
So they were playing some of the music out instead of doing their reggae thing. So it was really interesting, you know, in those things where the one brother who came up with the band concept and name, and he was the vocalist and everything, you know, he passed away, and then, like, he just had told the other brothers, like, I know that we're gonna get famous after I'm not here anymore, and that's exactly what happened. So it's kind of like a tear-jerking punk documentary in a way, which is strange, but yeah. I thought it was really good, and it's on Watch Instantly. It's free to, cool. Or, you know, if you're a subscriber, then you can watch it on there, and it's not that long.
Excellent.
And there's some amazing clothes in it. Like, and hair, because Detroit in the 70s, yeah. It's like, whoa. And then I watched a BBC series called In the Flesh. I actually bought the first series. It's a zombie series. But it's more, like, dramatic, more of a drama instead of a zombie story. So, yeah. It's English.
It's The Thinking Man's Walking Dead, according to Wired.
Yep. So... it takes place after some zombie outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
A tentative cure has been found for zombies. So they're kind of, like, brought back into society. They have these daily injections, and they're retrained to get back into society. But there's, like, discrimination, and some of them, their parents are dead because zombies ate them or whatever. But it all takes place in a small town in England, and it's... this, like, teenage boy, everyone still has the memories of the people they killed, so there's, like, all this emotional drama going on, and then reintegration with the family, and then the community doesn't want them, and his sister was part of the kind of militia that was going out and, like, hunting the zombies to keep the town safe, so there's tension there, but it's super thoughtful, And he meets this girl who he knew when he was a zombie.
That's scary.
And she is, she has also been reintegrated and is in his town, and they become friends. And she's kind of like, you know, I don't want to wear the makeup. They wear this like flesh tone like makeup, and they wear contacts. And some people don't want the rest of the community to know that their zombie family members are back, so they hide them because they're afraid that people are going to freak out. And so, you know.
Yeah.
It's good.
Cool.
I think it's 4 or 6 episodes. It's not that many. It's about 4 hours for the whole series. Yep. On one disc.
It's 180 minutes.
Yep.
Cool.
Creepy. It's really good. The BBC does well.
All right.
So that's it.
Okay. Well, that's it for us, right?
Yep.
All right.
So I will post stuff about... I'll draw winners for the last section of the Deep Stash Knit Along. Mm-hmm. I will post new prizes for the final section. And I will post some sort of giveaway question for the skein of Intrepid Otter BFL Superwash Sock. And put the end date and all that stuff up on Ravelry.
Yay!
And you can find us on Ravelry at...
Devil Knit Podcast Ravelry, blah. Devil Knit Podcast fans, and at devilknit.net, where I will attempt to post show notes because I did not manage to do that last time. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
That's okay. And that's it.
Okay.
All
before
right.
Before we both fall asleep.
I know. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
'Cause you made me